Alright, there's gotta be something on.
They say the word shit like 100 times.
You make the bully drink piss.
Whoa!
What is this exactly about?
Sean's parents are basically on the verge of a divorce.
We'll come back to bite them in the ass later.
I always wonder, like, why was it always that kid's problem?
Did you see that?
But I'm sure I'm quite drunk enough to see Meet the Beatles.
Of course, yeah. Nobody saw it. You know why? Because no one saw this movie.
It's like Avenue Q, only worse.
Yeah, it was definitely a rental for me.
On 3D, plus the IMAX 3D, plus the other theater had it.
Which was not really that hard.
Wait, where did he come from?
Get it up.
One of those covers of the Video Store, you remember?
Oh, this is that movie? Yep, of course. Yep, what in the hell is this and why is it on my TV? Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch this from the beginning.
What am I watching?
A bunch of people are sitting out on a curb. Guy coughs, spits into the puddle on the street. All of a sudden a car comes by, splashes the puddle onto all the passengers. Cuts to the word coronavirus.
So it's been a month of being locked in. If no one had told me, hey, there's a global pandemic right now, I would have probably not known for the first couple weeks.
The state shut down everything with any public venues. I'm unfortunately considered essential, so I'm out in the world every day and trying my best not to kill my family.
How are you guys doing with this amazing global situation we find ourselves in? Happy quarantine!
We are kindred spirits, my man, because my dad got it the night on a school night, whatever night movies come out, right? On tape. And so he got it, and then the next day I had to go to school, and I watched a little bit of it that night, and he's going, no, you got to go to bed. So again, same thing, longest day ever. I actually got physically sick with anxiety because I wanted to go home and watch T2 so bad that I puked, right? I was just, I don't know, 7, 8 years old. I puked at school. The fucking janitor came through sawdust on it like they fucking do. Yep. You go to the nurse and they send you home. And then I got home and I just immediately went to like watching T2 and I felt perfectly fine. I was like, you faked it. And like I was so like, I don't know. I had this weird feeling of guilt, like I had done something wrong. That like I didn't even like think to break out the evidence of like, call the school, I puked.
There was sawdust.
There was the thing. I was just like, I'm sorry. Like I just wanted to watch T2 so bad.
So the thing is, though,
for a movie that's never wrong.
And no matter what, though, no matter when you watched it, like even if we would get the movie for Christmas, it would be like when I would watch it, I'd remember what it was like, especially for the ones that I was really young and it was really, really hot out. You know, like you remember like on the way to the theater, like I can't wait to get inside there because the air conditioning is going to be insane in the theater. And then you've been in the dark for like 2 hours. You've been frozen for 2 hours. Your candy wouldn't melt if it dropped on you because it was so cold in the theater. And then you come out and it's super bright and the heat would hit you. And it was almost like the last smack to remember, like, remember how awesome that movie was. Now go home and get back to the other air conditioning. And like when you would watch the tape, you'd be like, oh yeah, I kind of remember that whole moment again.
When I was in high school, my mom's apartment was, I could walk to the movie theater, and I didn't have a car all throughout high school, and that's what I did all the time. And it would be like 95 degrees, full humidity, and I would, I mean, it wasn't a long walk, it was like a 10-minute walk, but like I would be dripping, and then I would get into the theater and just like be freezing. Yeah. My sweat would like immediately turn ice cold. And yeah, I feel the same thing. Like I remember those specific movies because of that feeling. And I feel like you feel like it's more worth it. Like I've walked in the snow to go see movies to Michigan, you know, blizzards and stuff. After school, I'd go walk to the theater alone, which like is kind of, you know, maybe now I shouldn't have been doing that. I look back, little 5 foot tall girl walking alone. But I lived.
I also remember there were times I almost felt like the intense heat of the summer would sometimes make the impact of the movies hit home a little more, like when Independence Day came out, and I was like, I was a day camp counselor, and all of us who wanted to go see that movie, we got the midnight showing tickets, so we were seeing it midnight going into 4th of July or whatever the day it was being released. I think it was released on the 3rd, because I know we had the 4th off from camp. But I remember coming out of the theater and being like, is this shit about to happen? You know, something about the fact that the movie was happening on 4th of July and that it was like almost 4th of July and it was summertime, and it like it, there was something about it that like maybe it's because your other senses, like from the heat and the intensity of that, just had this other awareness unlocked or whatever. But there was something about it that like that has never left me, no matter how many times I've watched that movie.
No, I was gonna say that is a great summer movie, man. You know, it's great Day. Summer popcorn, cheese, action, welcome to Earth. You know, there's so many great things that I just love about that. Harry Connick, like, holy God, like, yeah. So weird. Like, Robert Loggia, man, I could riff on that. And that's one of the last, ones that really felt like it was kind of had that cultural big, you know, capture the zeitgeist or whatever it is, that Tim Burton Batman, you know, kind of, that was the movie of the fucking year, the event movie of the year. There was no competition. In that department.
I mean, Batman, wasn't it hard to get tickets to see Batman when that came out? Wasn't that like, I mean, I remember when we saw it, the theater was packed. It was like we were lucky we got seats next to each other, my parents and my sisters and I. And I felt like when Dick Tracy came out, it was the same thing. And there was this new movie theater, and it was actually one of the Theater Palace type movie theaters of New Jersey, where the stages weren't all that ornate, but the place itself was this huge complex off the highway somewhere, you know, in Ridgefield Park. And it was almost like people weren't as lax about going to the movies at that time. It was more like, you know, this was the night out. People would get kind of dressed up. Not dressed to the nines or anything, but you wouldn't just show up and, like, you know, lounge around. People would go, you'd get your seats, you'd get your snacks. It was like a thing. And I remember, like, when Dick Tracy came out, it was wall-to-wall, not a single seat left available, even people sitting in the front rows. And I felt like Ghostbusters 2, any of these movies that were coming out when the weather was getting hot, when it was towards the end of the school year and the beginning of the summer, it was seemed like it was like everybody had to go. You know, there was some kind of pull that was there. And I wonder if something about the season was doing that.
That's the one I remember, Ghostbusters 2. Oh, when I saw that poster outside the theater, I probably lost my mind, and I specifically remember it because Ghostbusters was such an important movie of my life. You know, I watched that movie 4 times a day. You know, I remember specifically my mom and dad going, "Hey, Ian, look at that." It was, we were driving by the movie theater. There was the coming soon poster with the two, you know, the ghost given the two symbol. Mm-hmm. And I remember in the car losing it. I mean, I lost my mind. You know, people say that all the time. I lost my mind. No, literally, you don't understand. I lost my mind. Like, they probably had to sedate me. You know, but I remember going to the theater, waiting in line outside. I'm like 5 years old, waiting to see Ghostbusters 2 opening night. In this big long line,
And then everyone's just trying to get there early enough to get close enough in line to know you'd get good seats, you know.
And I don't remember watching it. I remember going home and playing with my Ghostbusters toys after watching it. That's what I remember, you know. I'm sure I'm in the theater crying, you know, as a 5-year-old, because this is such a beautiful, magical moment. But I do remember seeing that.
Very aware.
So,
for 5 years old.
So, Ian, you just brought back a memory for me when you said you went home and played with your Ghostbusters toys. So, who remembers living on the McDonald's Happy Meal toys that you would get in advance of movies coming out when they were promoing them?
Man,
I forgot about that till you just said that. And I just imagine, like, you're going through and you want to go to get another Happy Meal even though you're not hungry because you're missing a certain toy in the collection.
Or you start to figure out the weekly, this week they have this one, next week they're going to have that. You would start asking the people who work there, when are they going to have that one? Mm. I want that one. I've got these. I got two of each of these.
I still have my Riddler McDonald's.
The glass?
Taco Bell stuff.
Taco Bell was big on them too, the plastic cups. Like, every movie would have the commemorative stuff, right? I remember Batman Forever, those McDonald's glasses, we had all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember that very specifically, you know, watching Ghostbusters, going home, and just recreating the entire movie with all my action figures. Yeah. You know, because it was such, and I remember, and what was interesting is, I know now, that was like a second-run theater in this small Iowa town. And the only way I know that is because I remember sometimes we would watch the movie in the theater on the big screen, and then they would have VHS copies of the movie. So I remember actually watching Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade and coming out of the movie and buying the VHS tape because yeah. it had been like a year later when they showed the movie. Or some, you know, something like that. So it was always a second run theater. So I obviously didn't see Ghostbusters in summer of 89.
That's it. We got a call foul on Ian right now. You have a red card, yeah. My friend. You just fucked up the whole show.
I saw in the summer of 90 is what I'm saying. Like it was, but I remember getting the VHSs after watching it. So, you know, it's interesting.
You're bringing up a flood of memories for me, man. Like remembering when movies had legs, like Tim Burton's Batman, again, not to double back on that, but it played theaters so long that when it came out on VHS, there were theater owners that were mad.
Yeah,
I'm still making money on this thing. You're fucking, you know, this is like one of those things. And I feel like the theater owners would just decide how to keep shit in, how long to keep movies running. And there was obviously less movies made back then. But the other thing, when you talk about seeing the poster for Ghostbusters 2, I have the vivid memory of leaving the theater after just seeing Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And stopping dead in my tracks because I saw a poster that said Back to the Future 2. And I had to like stop for a second and like rub my eyes. I'm like, no. This is like, they're just showing, this is a poster for Back to the Future 1. I'm seeing it wrong because I want that to be a 2. And I like grabbed my dad. I'm like, Dad, that this fucking says 2, doesn't it? Like, I think I probably swore. And my dad was like, holy shit, you probably swore too. He was like, yes, it does. Like, finally, you'll play another tape, you know, 50,000 times a day.
Well, because honestly, like, we're almost ruined in a way now, because, you know, a movie's coming out 14 years before it even happened. I mean, I know when a movie falls apart before it, you know, and the different directors it has and this and that.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't know there was a Ghostbusters 2. My parents didn't know there was a Ghostbusters 2. We literally saw a poster in the theater, and again, they were stupid and let me see it. You know, so.
I mean, that was also like you were allowed to have the time for something to have that kind of a mystique buildup. You know, like they would drop a poster and it would say coming this winter, and you're like, but it's friggin'. It's June. Or like, we don't know when that's coming out, just winter, and it would be just like half the bat symbol. You know, something, just to kind of let you know, like, we got something in the works. Now it's like, oh, you didn't hear about this thing that has a 14-part web series connected to it, and also an animated portion of it that has been running on Cartoon Network for 2 years, and like, you're already late to the table if you're just finding out about the first installment. And half of it you could buy right now if you go to like this new streaming service's premium weekend.
Well, that tells me Reitman's actually a genius for the new Ghostbusters. You know, they release a trailer, and then there's nothing, not a single thing out there at all. You know, and it was supposed to already be out, you know, or it was actually coming up soon or something. But now, you know, they're re-releasing Ghostbusters 1 in the theater, but this Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Not a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, but they aren't even putting that. They're going to wait till after all this pandemic to release the movie. But yeah, I got like one trailer. That's all I got. I got like nothing of what happened on the set or storyline or this or that. So it's kind of like how it was in a weird way. How did you know anything about Back to the Future 2? There was probably nothing.
Well, no. The only thing I knew was that Universal had wedged in a to be continued at the end of the film that wasn't in the theatrical release. But when you got it on home video at the end, it said to be continued. So I knew what that meant. But this is like the beginnings of my early skepticism in life, where I was like, they're going to fuck me on this. They're going to do it. Like, they're going to fuck me because it's been years. I was 1 year old when Back to the Future 1 came out, and I think I loved it from then on. And, you know, so from like 1 to 5, I had to wait. You know, 4 years, whatever it was, seemed like an endless fucking amount of time. It seemed like, oh my God, much time. But they're not going to do it. They're going to fuck me. Like,
well, it always used to take so long. It used to take forever for movies to come out from the theater to VHS. Yeah. They were like, you would almost forget that the movie existed, and all of a sudden it would be available to buy at the video store or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then eventually got to the point where they're popping up at the grocery store. That's where we got half of these summer movies. It was like, oh yeah, remember Jurassic Park last summer? It's like $8 right here if you buy it while you're buying your, you know, dinner tonight. And you would just grab it on your way out of the on the way out to the aisle. So like my mom would just come home and we'd be like, oh, Godzilla, like everything that was that had come out the summer before is now available on VHS, and our collection just expanded. So it was just, it was nuts. The summer movies that they knew everybody wanted, you know? It was back when the bargain bin was cool, too.
Or you knew that, or you knew the movie bombed when it came out so fast onto VHS.
Yeah.
Sorry, Courtney, go ahead.
I was just saying, I think now, like, I think all of this still does exist. It just doesn't exist with Blockbusters. Like, a lot of the movies I look forward to, I get, like, a 30-second trailer, and then all of a sudden, it's, like, in some small independent theater, and I can't access it, and it's the buildup of it being, whether it's streaming or DVD, but I think it's Marvel. It's, like, the Marvel effect of you have to know every single thing. You have to know all the characters. Now they're doing the whole Disney Plus thing, where, like, if you don't get
you
Disney Plus and watch the WandaVision show, you won't be able to watch Avengers 8, and, like, that's annoying. But I think, like, in because there are more movies being made now, a lot of the independent, whether it's even, I feel like horror is really good at just, like, putting out little things. Like, I remember when Jordan Peele's Us came out, like, the poster came out, like, a year before, and that you didn't know what it was about at all. I was super excited because Get Out had been such kind of, like, a sleeper hit, and then finally it was just, like, out, and that was really cool, and I had no clue what the plot was about. And I think it happens a lot more. It's just the independent stuff rather than, like, for the all of the Jurassic Worlds, you're going to know the entire plot before we go into the theater. That's just how it is now, which is unfortunate. And it's, I don't think they can get away from it. Like, I think it's so cemented into the culture of the 2020 blockbuster.
Yeah.
They can't break away.
Well, they used to actually surprise people, too. You know, back in the day when you had the A feature and B feature. You didn't know what the B feature was a lot of times. Because sometimes it was the theater had gotten this other movie thrown in with it. They didn't put the poster out there. You know, so you came to see Ben-Hur, but now you're going to get Invasion of the Saucer People. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you had to discover this weird little movie just because you didn't leave the theater. You know, and it was, and you know, a lot of these directors now who are, you know, like Joe Dante and a bunch of these guys, you know, that's how they discovered a lot of weird movies. Just because they were surprised by it out of nowhere.
Back then, studios could force theater owners to carry a certain movie. Like, oh, if you want this movie, you have to carry this movie too. We won't let you show this big blockbuster if you don't carry this like artsy independent film. Or sometimes it was vice versa.
Oh, yeah.
In the case of Star Wars, it was The Other Side of Midnight. They said, we won't let you get The Other Side of Midnight unless you show Star Wars. And fucking, who the fuck knows what The Other Side of Midnight's about?
You know? It still didn't even work.
Classic.
Even with that move, it still didn't work. We're not talking about The Other Side of Midnight ever, are we?
Yeah.
They don't have lunch boxes.
Only
yo,
in this
yo, did you get those Other Side of Midnight cards,
Wars.
Dude? I got the hologram. Yeah, this shit's worth $1 million. What the fuck? Nobody knows that movie. Yeah, but it's worth $1 million. Anyway.
You want to see the movie with the dog? What? Okay, fine.
Oh,
what about
you know
movies
what?
That...
Be, there's got to be a good like summer movie with dogs or animals or something. I'm trying to think. There were so many in the 90s, like that dog movies. And, like Homeward Bound isn't really
something. Yeah, so you mean like one of those animal-centric movies where like there was like famous actors voicing animals or...
I don't know, just take your pick. The 90s couldn't get enough of like kids sports movies or like talking animal movies.
Yeah,
there was a shitload of those.
It's not easy butchering people. It's hard work. You know, there's a lot more like me.
We're talking to serial killers.
Serial killers!
New terminology.
Are criminals born, or are they formed?
How do we get ahead of crazy if we don't know how crazy thinks?
It's easier to ask for forgiveness than for permission.
Welcome to the Hollow Nine Mindhunter Podcast.
Hey
Hey, this is David Clone from the Hollow Nine Network, just checking in saying, hey, what's up to all our Radio Haver fans listening to us from all around the globe. We want to thank you for all the live streams during our programming, and a big thanks to Drew Carson for giving us the slot. We've got some renovations going on at the home base at hollow9.com. Pretty soon, it's going to have a whole new look and feel, so just get ready. Until then, keep rocking over at Radio Haver.
But I guess those aren't really summer.
Yeah,
right?
Nothing's jumping out. I feel like the summertime was easier to make big events too. Like I remember, like Phantom Menace. You know, you pulled up to the theater and there were people fighting in the parking lot with lightsabers.
That was a huge deal.
And shit. Yeah. That was like that was the end of my freshman year of college. And I remember as everybody was leaving, it was like everybody was downloading the John Williams song. The Duel of the Fates had been released. So that was all of a sudden. Yeah, people were playing that at parties and crowd. You're like, what the hell is going? But it was like you were also getting amped up to be disappointed eventually, but definitely it marked the beginning of that summer. And then the whole rest of the summer they were like, every Pepsi product had Star Wars themed Pepsi cans, and you had to collect. There were 32 different, like each can had a different character on it, and I was like, part of my comic book like self from high school came back, so I was running around buying Pepsis wherever I could. My friends were like, dude, what the hell? And I'm like, I'm just gonna collect them all, man. You gotta just, who knows, these could be worth money someday.
This Jar Jar Binks dying. Pepsi can is gonna be worth
I
a
didn't
lot.
Want to I hated buying that one, but you know, it was one of the 32 or whatever.
Hey,
it is.
He sold more toys than any other Star Wars character.
That bastard.
I don't want to hear it.
Did he really?
Son of a bitch.
He knew what he was doing.
The summer. Well, I think one thing that's hilarious about Jar Jar in general is that George Lucas's first script for Episode 2 was titled Jar Jar's Big Adventure. Just because he's like, I have a sense of humor about this. You know, I think that's a funny.
Or he's a lunatic. I think he could be more of a lunatic. One of those creative geniuses.
I think it was totally a joke. Because Jar Jar is hardly anywhere in any of the next two movies. But that was, you know. The summer of 99 to me feels like it was the last summer of real American blockbusters. Like, I mean, you had a lot of movies make a lot of money that summer, and they were great feel-good movies. Like you said, Star Wars, Phantom Menace, Big Daddy made a shitload of money. It's one of Sandler's like better movies for sure.
Yeah,
The Mummy.
The second Austin Powers was humongously way bigger than the first
and
one. The first one was a video hit.
First one, yeah. I remember the first.
And
one.
And it's and it's a much better film too. Yeah, it really is a superior film. You know, I think the first South Park movie was that summer. God, I'm forgetting.
Oh my god, you're right.
The Mummy was that summer.
Yeah, The Mummy.
American Pie was that summer, which was humongous. That was, I saw that twice the fucking day it came out.
Dude, American Pie was a big one. Theaters. That one was huge.
Yeah, that was like they finally made a Porky's that they could sell to the entire masses. You know, it took them fucking 20 years to figure out how to do it.
But look at the year we're talking about. We're talking about 99 after all the movies we were talking about from 89. So you figure that was a decade in the making right there. Them figuring out how do we really make a true blockbuster summer. I mean, I was working, I was an electrician's apprentice and just driving around in the work truck from job to job. So many Austin Powers commercials on the radio. There were Mike Myers commercials selling everything from like airline tickets to dog food. You know, everything was Austin Powers, Gold Member. No, Gold. It was Spy Who Shagged Me.
Hands off my hiney.
Courtney and Noah, can you guys tell your Mike Myers story?
There's a Mike Myers story?
We are part of a Mike Myers movie club that sprung up during quarantine. It's run by two of my friends that are based out of Long Island. We got Robert Wagner.
No shit.
We spoke to Robert Wagner.
No
He's 90. My friend Sean, who runs the club, had to call him on his cell phone because he couldn't get into the Zoom meeting.
No
Oh,
shit.
Boy. That is
awesome.
He's a
very nice man.
How long did he talk to you guys for?
You guys broke Chris.
Yeah.
We've talked to
the production designer of Spy Who Shagged Me, the cinematographer for Wayne's World. We just spoke. We have an offshoot now that's the Dana Carvey Movie Club on Wednesday. So we watched Master of Disguise and talked to the director of Master of Disguise, who has been the production designer of every Happy Madison movie.
Holy shit. The
babysitter from Cat in the Hat. We spoke to her. Who am I missing?
Who else? There's more.
The guy that plays the drums in I Married an Axe Murderer because he was the camera loader. The director of 54.
Oh man. You took my life and my cat.
So that's what we've been doing during quarantine.
Yep.
Nice. Okay, so
we're trying to get Mike.
Have you seen the director's cut of 54?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we watched.
How fucking crazily different is that?
It's so good. And that's what he was like, please tell people, please watch the director's cut. Please don't watch the normal cut.
He's very
Harvey
insistent
Weinstein
that
fucked it over.
Yeah, that nobody's really watching the director's cut. Everyone still has cemented the one.
Well, this is awesome because I've never seen the movie, so that'll be my first viewing will be of the director's cut when I watch
it.
The director's cut. Yeah.
It's a blessing to watch the director's cut for the first time.
Yeah.
As a disclaimer, I should say it is a little somewhat jarring. Some of the footage that is in the director's cut is mixed in sourced from like VHS.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of the footage that's new is fucking pristine HD, but there's maybe 20% of the altered footage that is like sourced from VHS, which some day they will find that footage and get it back.
He doesn't want it. He wants the VHS.
I know.
He said
he's okay with the VHS look. I saw his interviews I was like, this all blew my mind like a couple months ago. I discovered this and like, I loved that movie when it came out. And I just always kind of felt like there's something just a little bit off about it, and I could never really put my finger on it. And then when I fucking saw the director's cut, I was like, wow, this is the movie.
There's one very core subject that Harvey Weinstein didn't want in there, which is the whole bisexual angle. It's kind of in the original cut, but there's a lot more in the actual cut.
And it took years for him to get it made. It took years.
Yeah,
it's amazing. That's like, that gives me hope. I mean, I know how many directors that have died that didn't get their vision. I'm thinking of Jean-Carl Beekler's Friday 7. Man, like, that's a crime that we don't get that. But that new 54, whatever, the director's cut is fucking phenomenal.
Where can you guys find that? Is that on Amazon or is that on Netflix?
Amazon.
For everybody playing.
Yeah, because on HBO, it's the original cut.
They're trying to get like all the streaming platforms to switch, but...
Yeah, but...
And it's funny, that's what happened, actually. I was channel surfing one night and 54 came on HBO or something like that, and I like sat down and watched the whole thing, and like I always do, I googled the movie after I watched it. And I'm sorry, this is not really summer related, but I'll wrap it up quick.
I googled the movie
and I discovered this whole director's cut thing, and then I scoured the internet looking for that, and eventually, this is the first time I ever paid for a movie on Amazon like that, or for streaming, I think. Paid to stream that or rent it or buy it digitally or some shit. And I was like, I need to watch this right now. I can't wait for the disc to come in the mail. And so that's my story with that. It's nowhere near as cool as yours, but sorry.
Well, we definitely have to do an Axe Murderer episode because I feel like that was a summer movie because I feel like I remember coming out of the theater and it was also around the same time that in the comic book world, Superman had just died. And I was sort of on this hunt for all the books leading up to the death of Superman and all that stuff because there was a lot going on in the DC universe at that time.
I'm not joking. That boy's head is huge.
He's got a huge head.
It's like Sputnik.
Stop. You're gonna give the kid a complex. Come on. Could you just do me a favor when you come to my parents' house theater tomorrow night? Could you not come dressed like a Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch? What are you doing? I am an undercover cop trying to look hip. Yeah, but you look like an undercover cop trying to look hip.
I'm sorry. I cannot listen to Rod Stewart's If You Want My Body. I can't without singing.
We've got a paper, dude. We just got a paper.
Is that the nipple thing?
Tell me, don't you know?
The nipple thing?
Yeah, doesn't he rub his nipples?
Yes.
Scottish lineage. That was, I've seen that movie like 8 times because my grandpa, like, very similar energy.
We got a paper down. Just get him to the bar.
The Scottish people have their own martial art. It's called "fuck you," and it's mostly just headbutting and kicking people while they're on the ground.
Man, I both Wayne's World movies are actually pretty good summer movies.
Yeah.
We watched Wayne's World 2 last night. It's
yeah, last night was
Wayne's World. We watched the first one streaming the other day.
In a lot of ways, I prefer Wayne's World 2.
The second one is pretty awesome.
We actually agree with that.
You know, even though I love Rob Lowe, he's like my hero. Christopher Walken, I think, is maybe a superior villain. And
James
I think
Hong
you get the whole
too.
Fight scene, which is great, with Cassandra's death.
Yeah. James Hong.
You get Del David Preston is one of my all-time fucking favorite characters ever. Like I used to do his speech at school in fifth grade, and like everyone would die. They thought it was the funniest thing ever. Like, oh my god, he does the fucking speech from Wayne's World perfect. The whole like brown M&Ms and like
Randy.
I think it's a better movie because there's more Garth, and I think Garth is way more endearing and enjoyable than Wayne.
Oh, fucking A, yes. Yeah. Poetry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dana Carvey did a special on Netflix, and it was great. He actually talked about how that's his brother. Garth is actually based on his brother.
No shit. That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, he said one time he came, and then, like, the whole voice and everything and how he does it, he said one time he comes up and his brother is put batteries to a frog and made the frog's legs move, and he said, and my brother did it just like this. He goes, I made it jump because I wanted to.
Excuse me, I'd like to get by now.
God. Dana Carvey, man, he is such a fucking phenomenal talent to have, like, kind of Chappelle'd before anyone else was Chappelling, you know? He just sort of, like, disappeared, and, like, I know he had health problems and shit.
Yeah. Frank Sinatra died in the room over as he survived.
Yeah. Okay. We learned that, too. We have a lot of useless Mike Myers danger knowledge. And he missed the Seinfeld finale because he was having a heart surgery.
Dana Carvey's open heart surgery story is essentially Frank Sinatra, as they were missing the Seinfeld finale, Frank Sinatra was on the bed over, and he died as Dana Carvey survived, essentially. So it's almost like it was a life for a life. I'm just
Wow. That's a Hollywood ghost story.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually remember McDonald's used to give out VHS tapes. I remember this being in the summer that Paramount did a deal, and you could get Adam's Family Values, Wayne's World,
Back to the Future.
Yeah, well, no, it was Universal. It was all Paramount movies. So,
they had a different deal earlier with Universal.
So I remember the Paramount one. You know, and I remember getting Wayne's World actually at McDonald's because I got this Happy Meal.
I was telling Carrie because the scene was playing and I was like, oh my god, when I saw Wayne's World in the theater, it was one of the times that my parents had dumped my sisters and I with my grandma out in Pennsylvania, so we would always go to see a movie. It was part of the annual summer routine, and I didn't want to see whatever they wanted to see, so I got to see Wayne's World by myself. Their movie started before mine, and my grandma comes in right at the part when Wayne is yelling at the camera going, I'm getting shit on, man! That's all shit on! And my grandma just instantly, loud enough for the three other people in the theater here, be like, what is this picture rated? Are you allowed to see this? And I'm like, we're already an hour in. I'm not leaving now, grandma. And every time that scene plays, I still hear her saying, what is this picture rated? I'm like, it's like that's the worst part of the whole movie, really. The whole movie's so benign. And it's the one moment where it gets a little aggressive is when my matriarchy came in, and I was like, oh geez. Well, and
I had my 85-year-old grandma watch Pulp Fiction one time. That was kind of fun.
What'd she think of that?
She did the same thing. Movies are so just but she did
the whole pawn shop sequence was insane.
I don't think she made it to the gift. Thank goodness.
Oh, thank goodness. That's right.
You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, Hollow Nine.
HarveyWeinstein.com, where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollow9.com or at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine.
The New Jersey HorrorCon reputation is exploding. The atmosphere you guys have created. New Jersey HorrorCon was my entree into an actual horror convention.
Wow. Love it.
And you guys are doing a great job.
That is amazing. I'm super proud and super inspired to hear that. I mean, that's a testament to the community of cons and, you know, of horror and stuff in general.
Oh my God. Oh, it's Carmen Electra.
Hey.
Wow, we are all nice giving high fives to an absolute icon.
This is incredible.
Trailblazer, amazing. You are amazing. Carmen Electra,
absolutely. Be well. Safe. Thank you so much.
Love. Have a good one. Be well. So you can't see it on radio, but
she's still got it. Yes,
that's
absolutely.
My wife gets the picture of Carmen Electra.
The wife does it. There you go, wife. Good job, wife. That's a keeper. That wife's a keeper.
Are you having a blast?
I am having a blast. Are you having a blast?
I am.
This place is awesome, right?
What's your most favorite part of the whole day so far?
When the guy dressed like Gene Simmons from Kiss stopped in front of our booth and we put Strutter on and he did a lip sync to the whole thing.
Guys, if you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and do that.
Yesterday I bumped into Michael Winslow. I got to have this whole experience where Leslie Easterbrook was lost and looking for her autograph table, and I got to take her all around me.
It's spooky, actually. I'm going to turn the chair around a little bit so I can see you.
All right.
An eye on you. I saw you and I thought, this guy knows everything. Terrific sound in here with
cool.
you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's
really
amazing
clear.
Damon Della Greca of Slasher, this awesome app.
I wanted to do something that would really make it for these people who just love to create, who love horror.
Thank you for what you're doing, dude. It's great that you put this together.
Absolutely, man. It's always good to see you.
We're trying to have as much fun, and we want people to have fun with us, and that's why we got guys like you stop by the table, hang out. We get to do the radio thing for a little bit.
He's from Jersey, you know. I'm from the South, so.
And I'm from the Bronx, so.
So we're all still friends. That's good.
Daniel Frankenstein. I'm representing psychothematicmedia.com. Call ourselves a creative collective.
My name is Gail Bykowitz.
Yeah, I'm Hector De La Rosa. We're partners in crime here. We're doing special effects makeup, and we're also independent filmmakers.
When I ran into them earlier, they were definitely vampire cowboys.
I love Better Off Dead. I love Villain Ted. And I'm just so glad that you guys remember
those films. Oh my God. Those movies. I would go to school and just try and talk like Bill and Ted all day.
I want to go to that
$2,
camp.
Man. Right? I have walked around wanting those $2 for how many years now?
This is fantastic. Oh. But of course,
we need some language lessons.
David Clone from the Hollow Nine Network, and by now you know what it's time for you to do. Let's go on over to NewJerseyHorrorCon.com, get yourself some tickets, and check out this awesome event where we are lifetime sponsors. We will be there from now until infinitum with all these incredible guests that are going to be at the next one, bringing you all the awesome from the show floor right to your digital door, right here at Hollow9.com at the New Jersey Horror Con and Film Festival.
Did you get it? I hope you got it.
I got it.
That's good. See you soon.